Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is Paul's words written to the Romans in chapter 4. We'll read the first five verses and then verses 13 to 17. This is, in essence, Paul's commentary on Genesis 12, 1 to 8, and then the further incidents between God and Abraham in the Old Testament. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. And then at verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead, and calls into being things that were not. This is God's word. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow children of our father, Abraham. Last Sunday, we looked at God planting the tree of humanity in the persons of Adam and Eve into the fertile soil of the perfect creation. Well, that tree rotted. The trunk of that tree, Adam and Eve, rotted, and so do we, the branches. God planted another family tree, a tree that this time was planted in the fertile soil of God's first promise of the Savior who would come and crush Satan's head. God would plant the trunk of that family tree some years later in that promise. The trunk of that family tree is Abram, or later called Abraham, which means the father of many. The first tree died because of the rot of sin. The second tree does not die because of the perfect righteousness of Christ, in which the members of that family tree place their faith. It will never die because God's promise will never die. God's word will never die. As I mentioned, the Apostle Paul's words here to the Romans are essentially a commentary on God calling Abram to faith, and then the many other promises that God gave to Abraham, including that one day he would be a great nation, even though he and his wife Sarai were childless, that he would be a blessing to people. In fact, all nations would be blessed through him. Abram obeyed God, pulled up stakes when God told him, took his family, his possessions, and left his homeland up north in Haran, and traveled down to a place God would show him, the land of Canaan. When Abram arrived at Canaan, safely kept by the Lord's promise, trusting in the Lord, and the Lord appeared to him with another promise, where you're standing, where you're pitching your tent, someday your descendants are going to own this land. Again, Abram believed the Lord. Abram believed God's word. And it was none of the obedience that Abraham had rendered to God that made him righteous, but rather that he trusted the word of God, especially that promise of the Savior. And so what did Abram do? The same thing that we do who believe in God's promises. We build an altar and we offer our praises and our thanksgiving to God. From this altar, we call on the name of the Lord. That really is worship. The Holy Christian Church, all believers in Christ who share the faith of Abraham, is the family tree of God's grace. As we look at that family tree, we see that Abraham is the trunk, and that we and all believers are the branches. Abraham is the father of two nations. One, physical. All his blood descendants who would come from him are members of his family, are Abraham's children, including Jesus. Abraham is also the father of another family. He is the father of all who believe God, who take God at his word. And like God credited it to him, God credits our faith to us for righteousness. Not because believing is a good work, not believing is something that we do that other people don't. God credits our faith as righteousness to us because the object of our faith that we hold is Jesus Christ, is that Savior from sin. We take God at his word and believe everything he says about our Savior. And everything that God says about our Savior is everything God says in the Bible. Every word in the Bible points to Christ and strengthens our faith in Christ. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. When the Lord told him, move, he moved. When the Lord told him, you're going to be a great nation, he believed him, even though he was childless. When he got to the land and God said, I'm going to give this land one day to your family, he built an altar and he called on the name of the Lord. God imputed the holiness of the coming Savior to Abraham through faith that the Holy Spirit had created in our fathers' heart. That is the faith that we share. He is the trunk of the family tree of the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. It is from him, planted in that sure promise of Genesis 3:15, that the Lord Jesus comes and is a blessing to all nations, to every person as the Savior of the world. You and I, by God's grace, also believe God's word, as did our father. Abraham recognized that it wasn't his obedience, It wasn't his righteousness. It wasn't the things that he did that made him a child of God. But God made him, made Abraham his child by giving him that faith in God's word. Paul wrote, but when you think about it, Abraham was a very holy man. He did what God told him to do. He obeyed God. Paul said, you know, if, I guess we'd have to say that if Abraham did have some things to boast about, he could do that. But not before God. He could boast of all those things that he did as the fruits of his faith. As the results of God's calling him. He did all those things as a way of showing God his trust, his love. As I said last week, isn't that the way we show God our love? Isn't that the way we show God our trust? By obeying his word? By believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior? Abraham believed in the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross, even though it wouldn't come in his lifetime, even though he would never see it with his own eyes. He believed God's word about it. And by believing that word, by that word that he believed in, God said, "You are righteous in my son's righteousness. You are holy and forgiven in the righteousness of your Savior." That's our family tree. Like father, like children. That's why we're righteous in God's sight. That's why God says, "You have the holiness of my son, Jesus." I said that it is there on the cross. And the Holy Spirit has given you the assent, the saying yes to that, the trusting in that. The Apostle Paul draws that contrast between righteousness that comes through faith, which is true saving righteousness, and any righteousness that would be by works. And he uses the application of wages. When you get your paycheck, do you thank your boss for that nice gift that he gave you? Wasn't that good of him to give you that money? No. He was obligated to give it to you. You earned that money. Those are your wages. You receive them as that obligation. God has no such obligation for righteousness for us according to our works, because they're never enough. They're never right. They're never sufficient. They're never without sin. So Paul writes, "However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness." On the cross, God has justified us wicked and all sinners. He is the one who justifies the wicked. And when we don't try to work, when we don't try to earn righteousness before God, but rather by the power of the Spirit to trust in God's word, to trust in his promise and our Savior, God credits our faith to us as righteousness. Like father, like children. That's the way it is in the family tree with Abraham as the trunk. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. Paul said to the Romans, to the Gentiles, excuse me, Abraham is the father of us all. He is the father of his children under the law, meaning any Jews who are his blood relatives who believe, he is also their spiritual father because they share his faith. And Abraham is our father We Gentiles, as we believe. Jews, Gentiles, who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, we are the true children of Abraham. Abraham is the trunk of that family tree, the church. Abraham's heirs are not those who live according to the law and seek a righteousness of works. Then righteousness would not be by grace through faith, which it actually is. The law only brings wrath. The law only brings transgressions as it shows our disobedience of God's will. Any boasting that you and I might do about our good works, or even about our faith, or our righteousness, is excluded on that principle, that justification and righteousness is not by works, but rather through faith. Faith that is a gift that the Spirit gives us in the gospel. Abraham is the trunk of our family tree, not because his blood is in our veins. It is because his faith is in our hearts. It's because when God speaks, we believe him. We listen to what he has to say, especially the word of Christ. So in that way, you and I and all believers are the branches. We spring from our father Abraham in the sense that we share his faith. We could also say that we're grafted into our father Abraham because we are not all his blood descendants, but Gentiles also come and then are grafted into that tree of the church also with the Jews. The Apostle Paul here quotes from Genesis 17, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations." Did you catch the prophetic past tense? God didn't say to Abram, "You don't have any kids. Really, there's nothing to back up what I'm telling you, but in the future, I'm going to do that." God simply said in the prophetic past tense, "I have made you the father of many nations." When God speaks a promise, it is already true. Along with Abraham and Paul, we believe in the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Humanly speaking, already at this point, although it would be some years later till Isaac was born, Abram and Sarai were, humanly speaking, beyond the ability to have children. So in a sense, they were dead as having children. And yet, what did God do? He made them alive to have children by giving them the gift of Isaac, the ancestor of Jesus. You and I were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were spiritual corpses. And look at us today, alive in Christ, believing in Jesus as our Savior, alive in that spiritual life of faith, headed for eternal life, timeless life, with God in heaven. We believe in the God who takes the dead and makes them alive. And we believe in the God who calls things, things that they weren't. Sort of like adopting children. When you have children that are not born to you, they have a different name. But when you adopt them and take them into your family, then you give them a new name. You give them your name. You and I, by birth, do not bear the name Christian. We are not the children of God. We don't bear that name. We were things that are not in a right relationship with God. But the God we believe in says in our holy baptisms, now you're in a right relationship with me. Now I am your Father. Now you are. I call you the children of God because I've forgiven your sins and given you the gift of faith. God takes things that were not the children of God and makes them things that are the children of God. Abraham's children are from Asia, Africa, Europe, the Americas, and all the continents of the earth. They speak many languages and we have many customs. We look different. The family tree of the church is a tree of different textures. It's not like an oak tree or an elm tree where every branch looks the same and every leaf looks the same. In the family tree that is the church, that comes from our father Abraham, whether you're a Jew and you come from inside that family tree, or you're a Gentile and you're grafted into that trunk, we are all those many and varied branches of the tree of Abraham. The Apostle Peter described our family tree in a little bit different terms. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. None of us have received our high calling to be alive when we were dead, to be things we are that we were not because of the law, because of our obedience, or because we're righteous through our actions. We are all those things because we're part of Abraham's spiritual family. He is our spiritual father, and with him we are heirs of the world through the righteousness that comes by faith. And like our father Abraham, we build an altar to the Lord. We call upon the name of the Lord. Paul writes about this a little bit later in this epistle. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.